Now, as always, it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to feel the presence of Jesus and to know that Jesus so loves us that He gave His all for us. He gave His life for us. He spilt His blood for us. And a lot of times in going to give blood, I've give blood for the needy, to the blood bank, and I'm sure that numbers of you have. And I've thought about it when it was taking the blood out of my veins. I considered how that as they took the very blood out of my veins, I was giving life to somebody else and saving somebody else by spilling my blood and being willing to die to that extent, then they could take my blood. And by my blood they could live, and that the life is in the blood. When you give blood to people, then you're giving your very life to people. And so it is that I've spilt my blood that others might live, and you have spilt your blood that others might live, not only in the natural, having given it to the needy, as we say through the blood bank, but inasmuch as the Bible says concerning you and me, Christians were killed all the day long for His sake, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And the Bible says concerning Paul, he said, I die daily. Numbers of times in my life I've died. I've died over and over again, as Paul said, daily, for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every man swearing to his own hurt, he dies daily. Now, killing out the flesh that the spirit might live. So then tonight, it is wonderful to be a Christian. It is so beautiful to be a Christian. You know, a great revelation is taking place tonight. So we started from home. Sister Betty, she's been a little fussy about so many things in her office, and we take things in there in different ones, and we put it in the office, and I'm a little fussy because I bumped my head on her lamps that's hanging from the ceiling, and I can't get to the things I need. And you know, the devil's got a way of making everything a wilderness. You can set up a filing system over here, and the devil, he'll put everything in it from somebody's name to somebody's shoe size. And when you want something that should be in line and in order, you can't find it for the scrap. You know, like a pack rat, he'll pull in everything. And, you know, it's been a little bit like that here at Bethlehem. We brought some things to pass with the Word of God and setting up some order and system. And the pack rats have come in and they've covered it all over. Even down in the basement down here, Brother David, Paul, and some of them had to work for days to get the junk out that the pack rats had brought in. Some people had brought in some things that was useful, and the pack rats that didn't have no place to put their junk, they come in there, and when we wasn't looking, it just piled it up. And it got to where we didn't have any space, we didn't know where stuff was. Thousands of dollars got away from us because of it. And you know, that's the way our lives are. God started a good thing in our heart, but the pack rats come along. And Lucifer and his crowd and his demons, they've not quit until today, packing in, throwing in everything that they could to make our mind and heart a garbage can and to make us, you know, be without that sweet smelling odor of Jesus or that savor of our heart. And it's up to us to get the junk out and do a little spring cleaning, clean our hearts and lives up. You know, at springtime they do that. It's a symbol of the resurrection, of getting rid of the junk. Get it out of your mind, out of your heart, out of your lives. And don't let those evil spirits in. And don't put nothing back there except what you file away according to the mind of Christ. And eliminate the confusion and all the stuff that Satan has put there. Like having to get yourself a new home and having to get yourself a new car and having to go down to the beach and having to gossip a little and backbite a little and find fault a little and lay up your little treasure and feather your nest and on and on and on and on. Get rid of all those evil things that tells you how great you are and who you are and what you are. And start thinking about Jesus and His greatness. And look on your brother as the body of the Lord Jesus, esteeming Jesus in his life better than yourself. I'm really hitting some folks tonight. I felt that bounce back just like I'd throwed a rubber ball against the wall. I passed over some of you, and as I went over you, I felt that bounce all the way back to me. But I know why. It's because you're guilty. You've been fellowshipping the pack rats. Now, so we've been doing a little spring cleaning around here and getting this thing out of the wilderness. You know, the law give us trouble out here and people give us trouble, and we folded that up and laid it away now. And we're going on into Canaan. Anyway, I was going to say that Sister Betty, she had some things in there and she wanted me to take them, so I did. She took them all out. Sure, she didn't know what was in there. Of course, some of them she wouldn't have let me take them out. But the Lord having His way, as I went to leave, Brother Floyd had given me a shirt tonight. He had bought me a shirt. And a number of things had taken place that had to do with Christ and what was happening. This red shirt I put on tonight. I saw Brother John Lane come up the other day and Brother Jimmy. And they were wearing their red shirts. And as they came in, I quickly noticed that it had a great significance. And I told Jimmy the dream. He wouldn't rest till I told him what you call the dream or the vision that I refer to as an experience. I told him the dream that I'd had about the resurrection from the dead. It really inspired him. But anyway, I put on this shirt. When I started out, put on this suit, you know. Started out, then Sister Betty insists that I take those things with me. I said, I think I'll go down to the basement. So she handed me a mirror, not knowing the significance of the mirror because I hadn't said nothing to her. And she handed me a paddle, a boat paddle. I had picked up a plane picture that I had slid into a holder over the picture, the aerial view of the white tent, which apparently was at Warm Springs, down having to do with the presidency. So I picked it up and I picked up a couple of rolls and I brought them with me. As I left, went down by the building, stopped, and they had it locked up and I couldn't get in. Just before I reached that building, Brother Johnny came along and he took the mirror and he took the pitch of the big ship that Sister Betty had gave me. And just before I arrived at the door, Johnny took these and left me with the pitch of the white tent, the airplane, and the paddle. So when we reached the door, I felt like I ought to share the revelation with Johnny. So I started talking to Johnny a little bit about Moses. The law going as far as Calvary, the door was locked, and we couldn't get in. Because though the Lord gave the keys to Peter, yet it was at the end of the church ages that the door, the open door, was recognized. Even though the door was open at Calvary, Peter opened the door of baptism in Jesus' name. And it was from that time on, the Bible said that since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way through the door. Jesus said, I'm that door. Pressed their way through that door into the kingdom of God, in that God hath, by the blood of Jesus, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Speaking of our inner man, You're not of this world, for I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the restitution or the restoring of all things. So then when we got down there, I was expounding to Johnny. There was Moses. There was the law. Johnny being the security. There was the closed door of the halfway house as we journeyed on toward the church. That was the intellectual and the natural part of it. There at the building, the printed page, or the Word. Jesus being the Word made flesh where we do our printing. It is there that I expound to the brethren as they gather around, which has to do, they gather around and it has to do with the souls in prison, saying how long, down under there in the basement. Because there's three stories to that basement. And I'm just sharing a few things with you tonight that I usually don't share with you. I talk to the brethren about. But there's three stories to that building, and that is one surface, then the next one, and then the third one, which is a pyramid, and then the one below, whereas God works in terms of fours, and he had these buildings built accordingly. So then down under there has to do with the souls in prison. And the third level, starting with the surface level, has to do with the video, the vision. That video that we have run across the campground, which has to do with the vision coming to you at this time of that which is holy and godly, that which has been sifted and the world, the infiltration of the pack rats cut out. Chris just received the key to the top floor, the little pyramid, which has to do with the capstone of the pyramid. That capstone, you know, I said that they would capstone that pyramid, that the time was at hand, and that it would have to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus. In the video in there, Chris, having to do with Christ, taking the keys at this time, the revelation coming to the body, which is the headstone, crying, grace, grace, grace. Like my brother Junior, he said he had a vision the other night, said the Lord said, prophesy. Said he prophesied 12 times to me that has to do with the apostolic foundations. And he said the 12th time, said he prophesied, that was the only one he could remember. Said, and it said, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And Chris going up in there has to do with that. Having worked at the store, the storage and the stored up and these things having to do with him and Doyle. We went down by there tonight, and as we come on up, we come across the little chain that had us closed off from the bank building. Stepped across it, and just as we come up the hill, Brother Floyd met us. Walked up this little hill here. It had a great significance. I usually don't cut across there because of grass. But I come across there because there was a significance. That telephone post directly behind us has to do with that significance. And the rose that was planted there, perhaps Johnny, I know Bobby would remember it. The rose that's planted right there at the telephone post. I spoke of it when it was planted. You know, roses carry thorns. Right there it has a great significance, the name of it. As there is a rose on each side of it that also has to do with it. And that little hillside denotes Calvary, Jesus and the two thieves. Now come up there, and as I come up, Brother Gary Armstrong came to meet me right there at the hilltop. I motioned for him, so he came. As he met me, John and I, we came on up to the door right here on the men's side and the pathway. And I hand the paddle and the picture of the tent and of the plane to Gary. Now, when I'm talking to you, I have to take my time because I have to wait till the Lord says it. When I talk about these things, it's not me talking, it's Jesus. This is the way I have to receive them. And when I go to talk them, tell them, I have to do the same way. That's why I don't bring forth revelation here a lot of time, because the Holy Spirit is like a dove. He's real gentle. And the least little movement out of you or upset of your spirit or your mind will break into His mind. And whereas with my natural mind I'll resist you, God uses man for that purpose as He anoints him, that he might be the in-between or the mediator. But when he talks, he's just like a dove. The least little spiritual motion of your will against his, and it'll stop like that, or you will break into it, and as you break into it, then it'll stop speaking to you. Now, so then we come by the building, and as we come by the building, then I spoke to Johnny concerning the locked door. We came on up, we met Brother Gary. As I met Brother Gary out here, I gave Brother Gary the paddle. I gave him the picture of the tent, and I gave him the picture of the plane. So then as we stood there, I had given Johnny the mirror. The mirror had a cross on the back of it, a red cross. It had a cross on the front of it on the mirror. And it had on this cross, I can't even remember who gave it to me, but it had a great significance when it come in. And it had on this cross down at the bottom, Brother Pike, on the mirror. And I'd given Johnny the ship, the great huge ship, an old, old timey picture that you probably can't find nowhere. The ship has a picture of soldiers on it, and it looks like, I tell you what, it looks like that they took millions of ants and just packed them on board. It is packed from one end to the other with hundreds or thousands of men. And it is called the Leviathan. It's a huge, tremendously huge ship. Johnny had it. Johnny also had the rolls. When we got to that doorway, it had to do with the ending of the church ages. And that's what tonight has to do with. We spoke of it the other day, putting on this suit tonight, speaking about the spilling of the blood tonight, wearing this red shirt tonight, coming up the hill, coming to that door that's open in heaven, little Bethlehem, the house of bread, a door open in heaven to all the world. For we are they that dwell in heaven. And as we came over to the door, I took the rolls and I pulled the pictures out, which amounted to about 8 or 9 pictures, and about 7 of them, the pictures that was made into a roll or scroll-like. 8 of them, to be exact. Brother Gary took one and went around the corner. We counted the others, which was 7. And we took them out and we unveiled them, because they had to do with the loosening of the 7 seals at the end of the church ages, of the door open in heaven. And John the Revelator was told to come up hither. Sister Betty had just moved the head bumper of that great big red ball like a whirl, which was a light that I had hung in her office. And she moved it away. Now, you probably don't know it, but the world is a head bumper. That's what caused Jesus to be taken away. He was our head. They bruised his head. And that little lamp she had was an odd lamp. It's plaited like thorns. It's interwoven with a little runners like spaghetti. And it's got an opening at the bottom where you just set it right down on your head. But anyway, it's been in there because the woman represents the body. It's been in her office. We put it in there, and I had it to where it would not be a head bumper. But when she got to moving around and the ladies helping her, they made a head bumper out of it. So I began to complain. And you know, the man is the woman's head. At Calvary, you remember John's head being taken away? The guillotine. Capital punishment. So then, I took the scrolls, I unrolled them, and as I unrolled them, I showed it to the brethren. And there it was, the beautiful picture, so beautiful, of the resurrection. There was a beautiful angel sitting here at a stone, one of the most beautiful pictures you ever seen, at a stone all aglow. And then here was Jesus standing over here ways from him. And here in the heaven it looked like 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands of saints had that appearance, coming in the clouds and in the heavens, coming there to meet him. And it said at the bottom, the resurrection. Whereas that's what it had to do with. Coming from the basement. I'd been down there 2 or 3 days working on pictures. Just pictures and pictures and hundreds and of pictures. Thousands, I guess. Don was down there today telling me he needed a picture of pictures. And he got a picture of pictures today. So then there's just pictures and pictures. It's just a wilderness of pictures to that extent. But we went through them and got them out of the wilderness. And Sister Betty working on her end over there getting them out. Whereas it has to do with the finishing of the vision, the many pictures, the many stages of the ministry and this life and what we've done. Don was aware of it today. He said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, said within every picture, and still within every picture, there is a moment. A moment has been captured. Now an incident, a happening, a moment has been captured. So it has to do with the finishing of the vision. We made the statement the other day when we was talking to you that the days of the Gentiles was finished, the closing of the door, the cutting down of the tree, the midnight rider, the darkness coming in, gross darkness, intellectual reasoning, overpowering everything that's salvation or godliness, turning it into a religious stride of charismatic order to bring in the Antichrist, to make a religious world that God might reject it. Now then, in this, speaking of the tree being cut down, in Nebuchadnezzar, it was said, cut down the tree, leave the stump. The decree is by the Holy Ones. Leave the stump, let 7 times pass over it. Then the tree was to grow again, which was the taking of Nebuchadnezzar's life to the extent he lost his mind and went out with the beast, till his hair growed out like feathers and his nails like claws. Then after the 7 years, which has to do with the tribulation, his mind was restored to him. John come at Calvary, said, cut down the tree. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. 7 times was to pass over it. Even from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, which is the beginning of the days of the Gentiles, 975 B.C., when the kingdom was split up and the 10 tribes went down into Assyria, 2 of them remained. 10 having to do with Lear's children, the woman, 2 having to do with the male perspective of it, which had to do with Judah. The prophecy was that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between the feet until Shiloh be come. Brother David Paul, calling his ranch Shiloh. Brother Charlie said that God showed him that vision about Shiloh had come. We were in Israel. We wrote the song, Shiloh, till Shiloh be come. 975 B.C., the tree was cut down. From that time, Daniel's prophecy came into view. And you remember how that from Daniel's time, seven times passed over the Gentiles. Even on out to Revelation 19, it passes over the Gentiles. And God makes an end of the Gentiles and the Antichrist in Revelation 19. As Jesus comes back on the white horse, a vesture dipped in blood. His name being called the Word of God to make war with the armies of the earth and the Antichrist. The Antichrist having gathered together all those armies of the earth to fight against him. Seven times from the days of Nebuchadnezzar, from the time of the splitting up of Judah and Israel, 490 years, seven sevens, 49. Now, with that, he was to make an end of the Gentiles after that prophecy. Daniel was the man. Cut down the tree, leave the stump, and let seven times pass over it. The Jews at Calvary, when John said the axe is laid to the root of the tree, they went through the symbol. They went out of the presence of God, and they was to pass through the tribulation period the seven times before that they could come back in to the presence of the Lord. That time has come to a close. Now, cutting down the tree this time, I told the brother to cut down the stump. But it still has to do with the Jewish roots that will grow again. We've been through a tribulation period here. And now it comes to a close to bring in our millennium. Whereas people have said Bethlehem is too strict. All of that's not necessary, and they left. The law was with us. We were having trouble. Restriction, restraint. But those that have bowed down, those that have kneeled, those that have yielded, those that have submitted, now then they've become accustomed to this beautiful life. And now Bethlehem is to turn into Canaan with all of its additives, from boats to planes to blessings, to health to happiness, as the law is folded up and laid away. The redemption of the boat, the bottom, spoke of it the other night, Calvary, the worms, Lucifer, Leviathan. Brother Mike, Michael, coming in from down at Santa Rosa, fulfillment of the vision. He's from Indiana. It has to do with the thunders, the paddle. Sister Betty remembers well the paddle. Remember when we had the meeting in Jeff bedding the paddle? Susie, you remember Susie? She insisted that she would take that paddle and bring it. She did. It had to do with the Jeff meeting. It's got a great significance. It has to do with the white tent that I was carrying, Brother Branham. The airplane, our plane, it has to do with November. You remember what we said about, told some of the brethren the other night, and might have spoke to you about it. You remember what we said about Judah, Israel being divided, wouldn't come together till seven times passed over, the time of the Gentiles come in. Some of you I know don't understand. You look at Calvary, John cutting down the tree that had to do with the Jews. But the thing is really divided into 35 and 35, which makes 3,500 years. Going down to Nebuchadnezzar, and that's where the Calvary comes in. The dividing of the tribes, the rending of his body, the fulfillment of his Calvary. That is to say, from Adam over to Noah is one world. And that is a covenant, a water world, a covenant with the world of vegetation or the species of the waters. God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. When we speak of the amphibian, we speak of that world and those that have a little blood in them. It's a water life. It has to do with the body, the fish, those that are in the ocean. Then there is the second world from Noah to Calvary. It has to do with Calvary. That is a blood world. It is a blood covenant. They started the eating of the beast. That is a bloodline. A covenant with the beast realm. Men are beast. The next covenant extends from Calvary to the coming of the Lord just before the millennium. It is not made with the species of the water, nor with the beast of the earth who lives by blood life. It is an angelic covenant that is made with the angels. We who are born again are not in the earth. We are not in the flesh. We're not in the beast, and we're not of the beast. The beast died at Calvary. We're free from it. It is not us that lives, but the body of Jesus. It is, as the Bible said, in heaven, we're all equal to the angels. We are they that dwell in heaven. This covenant is made with the angels. You become equal with the angels. You cannot die. Death is folded up and laid away at Calvary. The law does not come beyond Calvary. Jesus can die no more. You being the body of Jesus, you cannot die because the law is folded up at Calvary. It does not come on this side of Calvary. This side of Calvary is heaven. Ye are they that dwell in heaven. And even though grace allows for the red dragon to be in the second heaven, yet you are in the third heaven, the man-child, the inner part, caught up to the throne. Here we see the covenant made with the angelic world. God said concerning Moses, I shook the earth. But after this, I won't just shake the earth. I'll shake heaven. Shake heaven till the stars fall out. Because there is a second heaven. And that second heaven has stars in it. And they're wandering stars. And when that great light goes out and goes into a nova, those stars are going to fall from heaven. They are wandering stars. At the end of the church ages, the light becomes sevenfold. Not only the natural light of heaven, which scientists has predicted at the close of this year or just before, that they'll all line up and cause the world or the earth to go into a convulsion to bring in the tribulation at the close, just before the close of this year. Not only that, but a light sevenfold. And that light of the revelation of the Lord, you know, it's really something. I'm standing here in that star that I've watched a number of times, like a star, moved right around to the door and started to flicker and just flicking away. Usually it goes over, and when it gets there, it's exceedingly bright, and then it goes out. Now, in that, the light is to get sevenfold from Calvary. The seven church age messengers, everything that they ever knew is to be placed into one body. That body will not be a church age messenger. That body will be the Lord Jesus and the fullness of His body, the church in the earth. Standing in the midst of the candlesticks, Paul, who said, I'm blameless touching the law, like Jesus was blameless. It is said that Christ was to be revealed in his life. The Son sevenfold, that last with all the church age messengers taught, putting everything together in one. So then we come up tonight, something started taking place. Brother Beachy, I called him yesterday. He said, I had a vision, Brother Pike. I said, well, what was the vision you had? He said, it was a real strange vision about you. I said, well, what was the vision? He said, I had a vision that they made you president. He said, and you had 2 months before you fill your office or go to Washington. Whereas in talking, some of the brethren spoke up and reminded me that that is exactly according to the election of the president. And they are elected in, and it's November that does it. That's our plane transaction. November, we finalize it. After that, the president does nothing but wait until the coming year. That's our plane transaction. We don't pay any more until the coming year. And then it's April, the resurrection. He said the strange thing about this election was that there was 2 parts, he called it, that elected you in. Said, and it was the Jews. See, Brother Atlee was not here when we told the brethren the things we told them, and no one could have told Atlee. But God, but willing to confirm it in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, Atlee, way down in Florida, the great Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him in essence the same thing that we was telling the brethren in this sense, that if in 975 B.C. the kingdom was split, 10 tribes concerning Lear's children, having gone away into Assyria as the lost tribes because of Jeroboam's rebellion, the 2 tribes having to do with Judah and Benjamin, or Joseph, staying there, they did not rebel, in that the man is not in the transgression, the woman is in the transgression. And the man still relates to the celestial while the woman relates to the natural. Or that is to say, my inner man, which is Christ, had to become the near kinsman like my flesh to redeem his wife, which is me, the body, to purify her after her travail, in that when Zion travails, sons and daughters are born into the kingdom. Christ, I travail till he be formed within you. So then, the thorns, the thistles, for that reason, Brother Atlee not knowing a thing about it, Jesus showed the rending of the veil or the temple, which was the separation of Israel and Judah at 975 B.C. and 606 B.C. He showed that of the 721 B.C., Daniel being down there, seeing the vision, the tree cut down, the 7 times passing over it. Then the order from King Artaxerxes to rebuild the walls back in troublesome times to the coming of the Messiah. Whereas the Messiah comes, said he would be cut off. He was cut off at Calvary, not for himself, but for others. The Jews being, as we've taught it, away from the order of God, out of the presence of God, died out of the presence of God. From that time on, God didn't count Daniel's prophecy until he come back in, way over here in the end time. He picks up, as the Gentiles goes out, their day closes, the doors closing just before the tribulation. Then comes in the Jew. They're sealed in the 7th chapter. The Gentiles go out. with the sealing, the end of the days of the Gentiles, with the sealing, the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy, the tribulation period comes in to finish the 490 years. Reaches over to Revelation 19. Then comes the millennium, which is the finishing of Daniel's 490 years, seven times, passing over the tree. Then the nation roots and grows again as the great millennium with Jesus at the head of it and the government of God being there. This is what Washington saw when he saw the help, the intervention that brought the economy back up and reestablished the nation, in that America is typical of the millennium. Crossing the waters to get to America, the new world, as we cross over the tribulation. Noah's flood to get to the new world, even Canaan. The man-child being caught up, the beginning of the tribulation, to ride over the tribulation, to set down in the throne of David, in that he is caught up to the throne. The red dragon is cut off, which shows the closing out, Revelation 19, the blood life at an end, the red dragon cast out, Megiddo, or the valley overflowing with blood, the end of the red dragon or the blood life, the Antichrist, or that one which was at the birth of the child in the second heaven when he went out into the earth to personify himself. Then comes the throne, the millennium, for the child goes into the third heaven, whereas America has to do with the second heaven, because the church is in the second heaven, blood life is in the days of grace from Calvary, but the millennium takes us to the third heaven. And to you and I, it only shows the second dimension, in the sense that we go into the celestial and we rule over that age until the end of that millennium, God restoring everything that was ever lost, every species, and then translating in it, transforming it, transfiguring it to the celestial world of the great white throne of judgment. Because the millennium is the end of all of his work, the third stages of it. When it passes through that, that is the spiritual age that you and I belong to. That will be it. 1,000 to Calvary for the Jews, 2,000 for the Gentiles, to the rapture, 1,000 to the white throne of judgment for the church. And we've got it on tape where we explain it. But in that, the tribes were split up, 975 BC, they come back together right at the beginning of the tribulation. They look and they say, "Where did you get them nails?" For Jesus appears. So I got him in the house of my friends. Now, as he comes back, the tribes come together. We made this statement the other night. In our day, if you can see it spiritually, what the Spirit is saying to the church, the same thing moves in our day. We brought it all the way from the beginning of the New World in the days of Washington. We brought it out about the Republicans. We brought it out about the Democrats. But we told you in the beginning there was a third party called the Federalists. And Washington was just that. He was neither one or the other, which shows the position of God in the thing in the place of Adam and Eve. We brought it out accordingly here in Revelation. Brought it on down to the Statue of Liberty, what it had to do with. Then in the day we're living in, we brought it out how that Judah, Israel split up, Lucifer, Leviathan, the middle wall of partition, the third part that came in. Well, there is one that stands between the originality, which is the Federalists, and that which God chooses, the Democratic. And that is the middle wall of partition, which has to do with the Republic side of it, in that the common people heard him gladly, and the Democrat policies for the common people. Republican is for the wealthy man, for the riches, the second heaven, that which stands between God and man, Mammon, the god of this world. But we brought it down in showing how that it just before the tribulation, the end of the church ages, Judah and Israel would come back together. We spoke of Brother David Terrell, how he breached over the ministry from Brother Branham, what it had to do with the revelation, concerning the revelation, how that he at this time has his tent over in the areas of Memphis, Whitehaven, the church, the body, the woman, the feminine thing, as he has catered to the women down through the years, his guitar, Elvis Presley, that thing trying to inspire him. Brother Delmer's tent going out over there having to do with Brother Terrell, the breach over, Brother Calvin Baldwin also. How that thing would go to corruption because it followed the feminine side. Each man falling after a woman, which has to do with the corruption of the world that Joseph rejected to find favor with God. With that, we talked about how Evis fell from Whitehaven, Lucifer falling from heaven. Brother Terrell over there, at this time, he shaved his head. The shaving of the head indicates, as Paul said, when he shaved his head, he went up to the house of God. He said, this indicates the fulfillment of the law, the finishing of it, the ending of the flesh, Elvis Presley, the snake, Lucifer, that which entices the woman, being cast out. The fleshly side coming to an end. Breaching over to Brother Wilson to bring it to a close. And that it's seat of view because that's what had to do with the building of the Temple of Solomon. I told him if he'd go to seat of view years ago, he'd be blessed. He finally did. He was blessed. Bringing it to a close, and that he had to do with the Pope, being in Pope, Mississippi. Brother Terrell putting that little derby, that little hat, rather, on his head like the Pope after shaving. And then Brother Wilson relating to this, having been brought in by this, having to do with the feminine part, coming under subjection to the masculine, or the 10 tribes, the lost tribes, coming back to Judah where the scepter is. As the mantle goes back to each one of those men, then finally it comes back because the mantle has to do with the covering and the garment of the woman. Her garments have fully been covered, and then it comes back to where the scepter is, even the mind of Christ, the rod of life, or the spirit. America, Joseph. Israel, Benjamin. Joseph having to do with Judah, for Joseph was the one the vine run over the wall. Judah points to Joseph. Joseph to Judah. Jesus' father being Joseph. So then, the 10 lost tribes, not America, but having to do with the Catholic Church, with Italy, with the 10 confederated nations, having to do with the image. Those 10 were lost. Those 10 could only find life when the old world went out. They could only find life in the new world of America by coming to this new religion, Joseph. Because Martin Luther in the Sardius Age killed that one out. The Dark Age got it from 606 to 1520. When Martin Luther came on the scene, the new light sprang up with George Whitefield that landed down here at Savannah, where we was talking about bringing the boat to. In this, coming to Georgia, in this the great revival started, the light. The Catholics died and could not live anymore until they come to the Protestant religion, which was Joseph. But if you notice through the years, the Protestants has rejected him. they will not receive them. But Joseph said, if you bring my brother Benjamin, have you noticed the Catholics have taken over the Holy Land? They've got those Jews following them. They're selling everything and peddling everything from holy water to beads. All the tourists going in is having to work through those Catholics. So then Benjamin coming in, America's finally, through the charismatic order, accepting the Catholics, even as it would have been with the priests here had we not went the route of the Lord. And in the symbol, they did come in even here as the 10 lost brothers. The crown being among the 10, in this sense, the Judah come out of the 10. But at the same time, there's a great spiritual significance to that, because it has to do with Joseph. Now, Joseph being the son of Rachel, which is the two whole brothers, whereas the 10 has to do with the world, not the church. For they are not whole brothers. They are kin by flesh. The bond's child, but not the spiritual child. Having the spirit and the body, the double portion, they are whole brothers. Being fleshly, just worldly, makes you a half brother. The same Father, in that God created all things, but not the same mother. The church being our mother, even New Jerusalem that Sarah represented, but the world being under the bondage of the law, or that is to say, the bond child born of the world, under the bondage of worldly, beggarly elements, which the bondswoman with her child Ishmael answers to Mount Sinai, the law, the bondage, those that are in bondage, even Israel, to the law or the world. Whereas there's a threesome, a middle wall of petition that Lucifer uses, because Abraham did not marry twice, he married three times. There was children also with the third wife. So it has to do with the church, the father of the faithful. It has to do with the Jews, even Abraham, the bondswoman. It has to do with Keturah, or it has to do also with the Gentiles. Now, the same father, different mothers. So we see it's all coming in. The crown which Judah had fell down into Babylon. That was the crown going down, the ruling power. When Judah fell, the Gentiles took over. The times of the Gentiles. The crown wasn't to come out till over here at the end. And you remember how we brought it out. Peter, Jesus, the keys, the crown, the first pope. Then the crown went down through the Gentiles and the middle wall of petition stole it. It remained with them until the pope got convicted and sold it, or he refused it. At the last crowning of two, it was refused because God was not with him anymore. You've never seen things happen to the Pope before like it's happened to him as of late, getting shot and all these things. Same way with the Gentile people, the leaders being shot. Now, with the coming in of the new, the crown, the priests that come over, the little crown that they used down here at our birthday that had to do with me and with George Jr. The crowns, when we come back from South America, on two or three occasions they brought crowns. When the priest ordained us a priest, in spite of all I said, when I said I would have nothing to do with the ritualistics, the other things, he said, he knelt down on his knees before us over near 11 or 12 o'clock down in our house. He said, Brother Pike, you're already a priest. God has made you a priest. But he wasn't satisfied until he, without me knowing it, brought his ordination, put the thing around my neck, and brought his cross over, his golden cross from his sanctuary and made it official according to their laws, their ritualistics, to bring it together, the body and the spirit and the soul, having to do with Brother Shepard. Now, he afterwards left Watkinsville, went down into Macon, Georgia, which had to do with our tent meeting where he was with us, and the publication of this Harvester Herald that just went out, the feathers on the front. Brother Branham said, I'll ride this trail again. Brother Horace was telling me that a chief has to earn every one of those feathers. The vision where I had of putting the feathers together, that was Brother Branham's message in quotes, where the brethren got upset. Took it, I put it together, forming the eagle, which has to do with the Indian that puts feathers under here and feathers here as the Indian chief. And as we preach, the eagle, the nest among the rocks, coming down from those rocks, we said, from the mountains down to that serpent, the generation of vipers, the Bible calls them, the Gentiles, made out of the dust, placed on their belly, the old wagon train and the rollover of the covered wagon to give it the appearance of a snake. Striking, as we said, when the Indians come down, they come down like an eagle with a scream on its prey, howling and chanting. They come down, they hit that snake. The eagle picks it up and beats his head on a rock, kills it. That's why Jesus had to die at Calvary by the head wounds. He represented the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, the brazen serpent, making an end of Leviathan, the piercing one, piercing even to the soul. Now, when the Indian struck, he struck with this little headstone, the little arrow, the little flint stone, striking the serpent's head with the stone, the little stone hewed out of the mountain, the Indian coming down. They had the system of a arrow cane. This cane had a great significance. A Christian walking clean and holy, the old saying, straight as an arrow. The feather had to do with a heavenly thing, the bird, the angelic kingdom. That spiritual part which made it heavenly, that would let it float through the air to its target. The men that used their weapons when they would shoot back had to do with the fangs of the snake. When he'd strike back, the old saying, lead poisoning. So then the whole scene was that serpent that was moving westward, trying to get to the goal, trying to get to that heaven, the land of the movie stars, crawling back up into the heaven from whence he had been cast out. Cast out of the true heaven, which was the first dimensional projecting of the Jews, the real stars of God, there at Calvary cast out, had to leave the eastern world, all the way down to the western world, to the woman's world, and then in the dust trying to work his way back through those riches and powers, signs, getting back up into heaven. A number of ways he was working his way back. In every dimension it shows him working his way back, naturally, physically, spiritually. Now, there's a twofold meaning. We'd have to go through it to the dividing, having to do with Martin Luther at the waters of the Mississippi, Egypt, Memphis, this side, the other side, three dimensions, coming from the east to the Mississippi, from the Mississippi to the Great Rocky Mountains, and from the Great Rocky Mountains to the Pacific Coast. The 1, 2, 3, just like we teach it, from the garden to Noah, Noah to Calvary, Calvary to the coming of the Lord. Third dimensional breakdown of the Western world, a 1, 2, 3. Or an all-over perspective of it. 1, 2, 3 from Israel. the land of Palestine, coming on over to the powers of Rome, picking up in the middle world, coming on over to America, having to do with the third dimension. Each one of those dimensions, breaking them down into threes, the water world, creating the heavens, the earth, the sea, the water world, that which is beneath the earth, having to do with the first heaven. For wherever there is life, whether it be water or whatever, it is a heaven. Heaven means life. Our spirit, having to do with energy in the world, the likeness thereof. In this water world, it is a trinity. There are those things that crawl up under the sand or that creep along the bottom. There are those things that walk or sail along in the water that shows the second heaven. There are those things in the water that flies like flying fish. God created that as a world. In the next world of the blood world, it is beast world. In that world, there are those things like moles that go along as a creep in the holes, and those things that hide in the holes of the earth. Those things that creep and crawl. There are those things of the animal world that walk. Lions and elephants and whatever. There are those things of that world that fly, like the flying squirrel and such. And then there is the third world represented as the world of birds or fowls. In that world, it is also a trinity. In the mind of Christ, it is clearly shown. There in that world, there are those that creep in the world of flight. That creep hide in the darkness, which is the bats. And then it has those that walk, like the birds, it's called the roadrunners, chickens and such that are fowls that stay on the earth. Then they are those that fly, like the birds in the tree and the great eagle and the vulture that stays around, flying, just sailing around. But beyond that, there is the real other side of life. And as this life in three-dimensional steps is broke down into 3, 6, 9 parts, so is the other world broke down in a trinity. For in that world, there are the same. In humanity's world, or the world of life, there are those things that creep or crawl, people who have to go about on creepers, or that's afflicted, or the little baby that crawls on its knees. There are those that are busy in the walk, even the mother about the house. There are those that are in flight, the man having to do with the celestial. Even by planes they fly, or put wings on their arms and sail over the water or down from the mountains. There is in that angelic world those three things in the spirit. There are those that creep, which is Lucifer, the fallen angels, the ruler of the darkness. There are those that walk, which are those men or humanity of the earth that is separated from the bonds child and showing that side. We are those that dwell in heaven. In heaven we are equal to the angels. For in heaven our angel beholds the face of our Father. We are angels that walk. There are those that are in heaven that are the good angels that are not relative to human bodies, and that hath to do with God, the great Holy Spirit, Jesus, or the great Holy Ghost. They are those that are represented as they that fly, that remain in the celestial. For Daniel said, as this angel or Gabriel swiftly flew by. In these we see that God has done one thing. And that is, when he created Adam, he made Adam for one purpose. As the Son of God, he was before his fall. After his fall, he was made to be the woman part, the feminine part. Lucifer was to enter into Adam, and Lucifer was to take Adam and become the god of this world. In that Adam had been made the prince of this world through Christ, the Son of God. For thus he was called before his fall. After that, he left the sonship. Lucifer came into him. Lucifer took his power of the prince of this world. He became the prince of this world. He is in this world. As the prince of this world, he lives in the human body, the bond's child. He is the god of this world. He rules over the water life, the blood life, and the foul life. But God only made that to last from the fall of the separation of the Son of God from Adam's being, which had to do with the man not being in the transgression, leaving the woman to show what Adam had done. Lucifer going into Adam from the tree of knowledge or the fall on over to Calvary, it shows us that Lucifer was in control, that he had control of the flesh, the woman. But the Son of God, to whom that body originally belonged, when Adam was called the Son of God, he came, was not made out of the dust as was the woman. He came, that life being taken from him, he come to redeem it. He come to Calvary. He come into this world, the thorns, the thistles, at Calvary, like Adam did for his wife, the type. Come into it, he made an end of the first man, Adam, for in Adam all die. For death reigned over all of them, Paul said in the Revelation. Death reigned over all, even from Adam, over to Moses, even the law, even those that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. So at Calvary, Jesus cast out the infiltration. Jesus rent the veil, the separation of the Lord and the Christ. Jesus cast out Lucifer. Jesus picked his body up as the glorified body, the woman without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He did not blame her with anything. He took all the blame on himself. He paid for it as a human body, a kinsman, that he might be relative, mediating between the body and between God Almighty. He picked that body up, for he made the second man, Adam, to dwell in, for that was the beginning of the creation of God. Because that Adam life in the garden did not sin, for the man was not in the transgression. That Adam life was born of a virgin, not of the dust. He came from the virtue of the Spirit. I come from the Spirit, I go back to the Spirit. He only came through the woman, indicating that life is passed through the serpent. Life always has to come from the other side of the fall over in the garden, down through the serpent that took over the woman's body. His life passes through her to reproduce Satan, the infiltration in her body. That is to say, the human being, the flesh, infiltration in that. And all life is formed, Christ formed within you, passing through the reproduction. It is shown in the male and the female. All life passes through the passages that represent those things to those that can understand spiritual things. At Calvary, the veil is rent. The seed of life came in at the garden, a tree, knowledge. When that knowledge that Adam is split, out comes that which has to do with infinity, the atomic power of the God power of Calvary. The red dragon goes out. That is to say, blood life is no more. Beast life is not in rule anymore. The infiltration is not in rule anymore. Death cannot come past Calvary. Spirit life takes over. That spiritual life takes over. That spiritual life resurrects from the dead. It picks up the body. God enters into the second man, Adam, saying, this is the beginning of my creation. So then when he picks up the second body, the water world, the blood world of the beast, the foul world, all of this goes through a celestial change. After God picks it up, heaven sets in. The seven-dimensional church ages of seven times passing over after John laid the axe to the root. Then it comes up sevenfold, meaning at the end time. The millennium comes in. God restores everything of the water world, everything of the beast world, the blood world, everything of the spiritual world. Then God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, comes into the Adam, which is celestial. And then he rules over all of those things throughout eternity, throughout the millennium world. He rules over them as he made the world to be his kingdom. For the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Satan stole his kingdom through the weakness of the flesh, the woman. So then the Lord becomes the God of all the world and the universe. And the transformation and the translation and the transfiguration of the spirit, soul, body. All that's left behind at Calvary, and the great Holy Spirit of Christ, by means of that one that relates to the body, that Redeemer, God enters in and redeems the world to enjoy his kingdom through his body, the Son, you and I, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, to enjoy the inspiration of all these beautiful creations through your feelings being touched with the feeling of your infirmity. For God cannot get to his kingdom and enjoy it except through human instrumentality. He feels this great inspiration of life when he is in you and you are happy, he is happy. When you are grieved, he is grieved. Therefore, as long as the infiltration is in the body, he is cut off from his kingdom, his people in bondage. Lucifer, the son of the morning, setting in the soul, setting on the rim of the earth, keeping everything such and such, having to do with the moon rim and the reflectors, that which will turn to blood, that had to do with Calvary or the sixth seal opening. Here in this, we see what the Lord is doing, bringing back his kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world, and my servants would fight. Now, in that third covenant, that third dimension, Brother Atlee could not have known what I'm telling you in the presidency thing. I told the brethren that with Brother Terrell, Brother Wilson, that made it subject to this again and brought it back to Judah, the scepter, brought it back all to a oneness, even to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the head of all things, represented by Chris going up into that tower, the key. This is what happened tonight. We preached on the seals, the shirt. We came up. When we opened one of them, it had to do with the scroll. And there was seven of them, having to do with nine of them, the planets lining up, the gifts of the Spirit. These things are the fruits of the Spirit, capstoning that thing off with love. God is love. He is the capstone. And as we came there and opened them, the resurrection. Then there was the great ship loaded down with people going over the sea, Leviathan that makes the deep to boil like a pot. Those that were lost going away, for straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it, but the multitudes entered into the regions of the lost. Even Leviathan, the piercing serpent. And there it was. You've heard the old saying, in a boat without a paddle. We got a boat and got a paddle with it. So then, having to do with Brother Branham, with the river up there, and numbers of things that we could say concerning the paddle, and probably will later on, catching our plane at the last minute, leaving the people crying around the altar, hurrying off after going through that little cold siege, the wintertime setting in and Farrelly got on the plane for having to do with the rapture, and the man was standing there, and I had to hold him up till my wife could get there. Now, opening those seals or those scrolls, it was one and another, like I taught it here. Opening those scrolls, there was the resurrection. There was the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness. The veil that you have to go through in the types and the shadows to get to the mind of Christ, hid within the mind of man as typical types of human thoughts and understanding. Entering into the innermost part of the thoughts, the interwoven, down into the heart of the soul, the spirit, into the infinite. Life, the quickening. There, when we opened it, was the great big picture of the Indian chief sitting on his horse with his squaw by his side. Brother Branham's, "I'll ride this trail again." There, within there, was a couple of pictures of our brother Branham. Big pictures. And one of them, where he was laying the cornerstone of the tabernacle. Within there was a picture of Brother Branham where they had mounted him in the wings of an eagle. And it showed him with these great wings of the eagle. Within that, there was a number of things that was within there that had to do with the seals. One right after another. And the resurrection of our brother and of Christ, because he was the Christ that was in the earth at that time. It was God in his tabernacle, folded up and laid away, as the law in the quotes, coming over Calvary, the head split open in the rent veil, that it might go out, the first tree going down is the tree of knowledge and law, as we've taught it concerning Dallas, Texas, where we got the press, the transferal coming from the voice of healing as the press came over to us. And we redone it, Brother Buchanan, relating back to Oklahoma, Oral Roberts, the city coming down, Faith City, James Hargis, those out there that had to do with the feminine part, the soul part, the woman. California, that had to do with the full gospel businessman that relates to Brother Walden, that has to do with the body. This over here that has to do with the eastern part, it has to do with the spirit. Body, soul, and spirit coming together, bringing the press over, resurrecting it. That tree going out is the voice of healing. Brother Branham's tree that become a knowledge, a quote, the parasites got in it. Wintertime came, it killed the tree, Brother Branham. So the life, the sap, God said his trees are full of sap. The life could go back to the root and offspring of David, that it might grow again after seven times passed over it. Here, over in this end of it, bringing the church ages to a close, Calvary. Coming over here, the door opened in heaven. Coming over here to go into the spirit, Brother Branham caught up into the third dimension, seeing his wife Hope, seeing the women in the long dresses, seeing youth restored. He was caught up. He saw this, not that he went into the third heaven, because they said Jesus is up a little higher, but seeing this in that he was still in his body, seeing what God was doing, how that in the second heaven, which is the days of grace, God would bring it to this and the women would put on the long dresses. The end of it. Here we are over here in this that all relates back to the flood he saw and the wonderful things that we could take all night and all day tomorrow and the next night and on and on. Just to write a book or tell about it as we barely scratch the surface here with it. Just trying to follow a root. A tree comes up over here. Here comes another tree. This time it's not the tree of quotes of the Word, Brother Branham and the spoken Word. It is the unveiled Word, the revelation, the rent veil. This is the spirit, the tree of life, coming up over here in this. Man can't get an advantage out of this. Christ gets all the glory. And the song says we'll give all the glory to Jesus. So then, having to do with this and the discovery of the cave, and Brother Branham, not his followers not having their meeting this year as usual, showed it. We spoke about the school and the different things that we've got on tape. It relates to them two parts coming together, Atlas said. The lost 10 tribes that represents the tent meetings, and the woman and her children. The shadows are falling. Now she's coming in. She's looking for home. The children are looking for home. They're all coming in. The shadows are falling. Gross darkness covering the people. The light of the end time. They see it in the house. They come into the house. They come into the house, which means that that will be over, because that will be subject to this. And Judah will again be empowered as the son of David, which brought forth the son of Solomon. I say this to you again. Saul had to do with the infiltration. David with Jesus. Solomon with Christ. But when Solomon sinned, whereas Christ did not sin, neither did God Solomon sin, which was the son of David part. At time we'd go into it, when Solomon gave place to the devil, the Lord didn't charge it against him to the extent his kingdom went on. Rehoboam stayed on the throne, and that which had to do with the masculine part remained even until this day. But it was taken down into Babylon that the Gentiles might swallow up things, America, until it was all over to go back to Israel, the head of the nation. Whereas they're rising up, we're giving them planes, the wings of the eagle nation. We're giving them planes. Everything is ready. Israel is rising up, the head of the nation, which means this cycle in our day is going out. It's the end of America. It's the end of the Gentiles. Their days is over. Horrors and sorrows, as the song says, is waiting them. And this cycle of Brother Terrell and all the ministers going out, there won't be nothing left but the revelation of Jesus Christ. I told you that years ago, and I know you didn't believe it. I said, all that has to do with part, but when that would... Bible said, that which is full in its fullness comes, that which is in part shall be done away with. All of them be swallowed up in this. Like Brother Branham spoke about the all, they discovered all in different places. But when the man from Texas come and put in his diggings, he swallowed up all of their streams, because he hit the mainstream and it sucked all of their oil out of their wells, and he had all the oil in one well. Even Jesus Christ the Lord in that day alone shall be glorified. Christ, the revelation. So this all to come back to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ into a head. And this is what Brother Atlee saw. The two parts and the election. Whereas Chuck spoke of us nailing the new constitution on the doors of the White House. We just got a letter from the TV station in Philadelphia that covers many people, millions, and they're wanting our program there. That's where our program was, where they signed the Declaration of Independence, where they wrote up the Constitution. Brother Horace coming on down as a carryover even from New Jersey. I said all of that to just say this, even this year, at the end of this year, only the Lord knows what will happen. Scientists say that within a few months of this year, that the whole world will go into a convulsion. All the planets will line up. And I tell you in the name of the Lord, though you don't believe it because you haven't believed me in the past, my sheep know my voice. They have an ear to hear, and they'll hear what I say, and they'll follow me, and they'll believe what I'm saying. Now, it is a true fact that in the Spirit I see all of the things have lined up. All of the revelation has lined up. All of the spiritual planets have lined up. all of those spiritual things are falling into line like they're supposed to do. In that, and that has a great significance. Maybe we'll bring it out sometimes in connections with the calamities, but it is a true fact. As in heaven, so in the earth. If it is happening in heaven, which is in the spirit, like when I said to the people, I said, you see these things in heaven that I'm looking at. As in heaven, so in the earth. What happens in the spirit or in heaven suddenly has to manifest itself in a natural body or in the natural earth. That means, folks, if it's lined up in the spirit, you can be of a sure that the days of the Gentiles is at an end and it will line up into heaven. Those convulsions will come, and that nova of the sevenfold light of the sun going out, the earth will be finished because that's what nourishes it. God's light going out, the Gentiles will be in the black hole that they've discovered, the bottomless pit, the infinity, in that this world has no foundations. They can't find the bottom out there. Now, so they're little objects floating around, them to go into that, out of the presence of God, out of their mind, because their mind only consists of a little system. When that time element is over, their system is gone. They can't follow it any further. We who have the mind of Christ go right on to the infinity with the system. They go out. Their light goes out, which means their mind reflects understanding. And it gives them a little system of time element from the garden over to the consummation of the world. When the light goes out, their mind goes dark. They don't have any more understanding of system. It's a nightmare of the black hole, of the darkness and the deep pit of chains of thoughts, them being the body of the piercing serpent, Lucifer, being bound in chains of darkness, intellectual reasoning, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So then it is a truth that with the brightness of his coming, which is the revelated mind of Christ, the great white throne of the judgment, him himself appearing, he will destroy the man of perdition, the bond child, and change our image from that earthly, beastly, bond child image over to his glorious image, and destroy and eradicate everything that's unlike him with the brightness of his coming. And this is the brightness of his coming, even the sevenfold light of the seven spirits around his throne. The candlesticks, Jesus in the midst, the stars, all of them within his hand, the power of the ministry, the right hand of power, the scepter. Now, in that we've said this, you can see that everything is at hand, at an end. It's all fixing to change. The devastating blow is fixing to come. Be also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh as a thief in the night, as we explain. So then, if you haven't made peace with God, if you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus and the revelation, I beg of you in the name of Jesus, start seeking and searching hurriedly and fast. Because if you don't translate in your mind from your mind to first birth of darkness into light, then you're going through the tribulation period. You can't die out. He's coming. The grave won't get you. So you have to translate or go through the tribulation. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape them things that's coming on the earth. For they're horrible. And the only way you can translate, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, or that is Enoch, as the church, the seventh from Adam, was translated by faith, taking his body out so that it would not see death. The Lord's going to take his wife out, translate her from within, because he's in her heart. His kingdom's in her heart. He's going to translate that body to that wonderful celestial change of Thessalonians. A moment in the twinkling of an eye, it'll be transfigured. But the translation of the transformation of mind, translation of spirit, is taking place now. From faith to faith, glory to glory. This mirror that Johnny had the cross on it. That was Simon. That was Moses. The one that took the cross. That was the mirror Calvary. Paul said, beholding our face as in a mirror, looking into the perfect laws of liberty of the Lord Jesus. In through that Calvary, that cross, we're changed from glory to glory into His most spectacular and wonderful image. All of those things had a great significance. A great significance. I want you to stand with me. I want my little ones to forgive me tonight. I know that they've gone to sleep. Brother Pike never has done this before, but looked like the elders died in the wilderness and the little ones went on into Canaan. This is their night, the crossing of the Jordan, coming out of the confusion, out of the intellectual wilderness, going over into Canaan. Ordinarily, have somebody to lead the little children. But we're leading the little children tonight, the little spiritual children, over into the mind of 32,000 promises of a land that flows with milk and honey, that wonderful land of story. We have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures, headed to that wonderful country, so lovely and so grand, passing over the Jordan. On the other side of Jordan, Joshua, take my people to the other side of Jordan. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Lord to Joshua said. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, getting over the old carnal mind of the serpent of death, the intellectual reasoning. To be carnally minded is death. To be Christ-minded, spiritual-minded is life. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, for my people must be led. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said. Amen. No longer a wilderness of intellectual bookkeeping. No longer a wilderness of the picture work. No longer a wilderness of the presses running. No longer a wilderness of the infiltration. But little Bethlehem will go like a machine now. Be blessed, and things will be in order. People will be happy. The confusion eradicated. Canaan land. Wonderful thing to be in the mind of the Lord. No longer a law of restriction, but love and grace flowing like milk and honey. You know, the milk and honey has to do with His blood and His spirit. The little bees make that honey. Going into the bud of the flowers and bringing it into the kingdom of this hive. To store it away. The queen bee, like Mary that brought forth Jesus. The church. Let's sing this together, can we? Getting that sweetness of Jesus out of your heart. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Can you sing with me? I'm shouting the victory. I'm shouting the victory. For I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is heaven to me. Now I am in heaven, you see. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. I'm shouting the victory. I've been translated, you see, and have crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And my friend, this is heaven to me. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world, and I've hid you in Christ or in heaven. The heavens have received you under the change of your body. Thessalonians, last trumpet. Tonight, Brother Gary walked around, took the picture. I'll ride this trail again, having to do with Brother Branham, because he has to do with that split at the church in the Carolinas. One part of the Lord, one part of the Christ. Came down here with it. Brother Branham carrying all them books around. The resurrection of Brother Branham. Brother Gary just made the statement that God was blessing him. His faith is being restored. A great thing is happening to him. Having gone through a death, he came to get the key to go unlock that for the prisoners to come out, to go into the picture room, the vision, the heart. When he got it, he got the key from the man with the trumpet. And the last trump shall sound, and the key shall open up the door, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be translated by the hearing of what you heard, to find out that you was raptured away from the earth into heaven, and that it's all left behind you. The key, the trumpet, and the trump of God shall sound. The thunders, our brother Michael, the war in heaven. He's went through three things. He drawed his first picture. He drawed a picture of a ribbon and the thunders, not knowing that they'd placed the ribbon over the white tent. From me to Brother Branham, or Brother Branham to me. And he drawed it over my head and put a picture of me. Then he put another ribbon under it when God became a man. In the first ribbon at the top, he put the thunders. They're just fixing to come out with the book on the thunders. All the other books led up to this. The finishing of the mystery. The sounding of the last trump. No more mystery, no more shadow of death. Everything clearly understood, what God intended, what He did, what He's going to do. The shadow of the carnal, intellectual mind of death gone. The sevenfold light, the brightness of His coming, the earth translated to His own likeness, even your body made out of the dust. Michael drew the second picture. This picture was a picture of clouds, war in heaven. And Michael drew the third picture. And with that picture, he drawed two trumpets this way and a cross of the rainbow. One right after another, showing the different things that had taken place. He worked on those things. One, two, three. A three and one, and he just had finished this one. This reminds me of Revelation 10, because he's got an angel standing on a cloud, holding a ribbon, the thunders, the wings this way, two trumpets coming out this way. And then underneath it, he's got all kinds of things seen in heaven, from a scroll to I don't know. It's really, really an astounding drawing. I know that you can't see it there, but you can tell that if it's an angel and it's on a cloud, if it has a trumpet, and Michael and what it had to do with, there definitely has a meaning. Body, soul, spirit, three in one, Christ and the seven candlesticks. Very definitely something is taking place, folks. It is, first, as I said, as I told you, and then, as I told you, these clouds, and then the angel. Or that is, the clouds look like a rent veil coming forth. A man, a rent veil, an angelic form. A man, when God became a man, Calvary. Then when the man's veil is rent, Brother Taylor sings, and he rent the veil in two. Then comes forth the angel, for in heaven we're all as the angels. The sounding of the trumpet, the last trumpet, the man with the key, and the resurrecting, having the keys. It has to do with the keys of the buildings. It has to do with this. Michael, drawing these things, preparation of man's heart is from God, atly seeing what he saw. It denotes a great thing, folks, that has taken place. Can we sing this? The last, in that day he alone shall be glorified. Give me a key, Brother Taylor. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. I'd like to say again, we appreciate our visitors tonight. Brother Mike, from down in, coming up from Santa Rosa. Brother Mike from Indiana. Brother Mike has become part of our brotherhood. He didn't like because I said something about being bald, but they said, go up, Baldy. So if Elisha comes, he's got to come some way. Now, appreciate our sister coming up from South America. Our brother's wife coming over with a little baby. Brother Gonzalo, our brother that was with us in the Central American crusade, it would be seemingly out of order had he not been here tonight, and that he was with us when the vision took place way up in the Mystic Mountains just before we descended down into Honduras. He was with us in the Central American tour. His mother coming up. I'd forgotten that she'd come up. It's been so long since she'd come over. I saw the day she come over, she went in to visit with my wife. His mother coming up. Wonderful person. His mother is a wonderful person. She treated us so wonderfully down in South America. His dad did the same thing. Received us into the home there. It was so beautiful. Brother Gonzalo was so wonderful in sharing with us his finance so that we could help to make the trip until we get back home. And them coming tonight from South America, it's a beautiful thing that they should be here like this. So wonderful. The heart of the earth, way down in the heart of the earth, for Jesus went to preach to the souls in the heart of the earth. And thus was the resurrection. And even to the typical thing of being the champion that arose from the heart of the earth, even as the tennis champion of that world. Coming up to get a scholarship. So wonderful, Brother Fernando, and his wife, him having to do her having to do with that area also, her mother having come up, and him having to do with Spain, Italy, and that country that he had been into. It's a wonderful thing. Even the brethren in South America, we just got a letter from them. Great things happening, folks. Great things. All right. Brother George, we need more help for the church job. Could you ask for those who would help? Brother Ron, please, if you will, if you want to do something for Jesus, here's an opportunity. You can't make up for what you've not done, but maybe you'll catch his interest through repentance and asking him to help you. Esau cried, repented, but he didn't do anything afterwards. He kept on being Esau, kept on living after the flesh, and they that live after the flesh is unsightly. The beast, the hairy one, they shall die. Shame indicated by it.